I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Hey. Hey. Sorry, I'm just over here feeling myself. Every time the music jumps, like it just starts, I'm just over here dancing.
That's
even though it's like the start of the after show.
So much dancing happening.
What after show are you on? I don't care. I'm just dancing. No, what's up, guys? Thank you guys for tuning in. This is the For Life After Show, Season 1, Episode 2, Title Promises. And there was so much to talk about. So many promises made. So much drama to be had. But before we get into all that, I have two people right by my side, my ride or dies. What's up? First, we got Dot McDonald on the far right, a human rights activist who is also in the chat. So make sure you guys are looking at that. What's up? How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. Yes, please chat me your questions or anything you guys want to discuss.
That's what's up. Yes, definitely be in the comments because we will be watching. And Emily May, how are you doing? She's also a fan of all crime dramas and a huge fan specifically of Joy Bryant.
Yes.
That's what's up. And
happy
also, you are my go-to for all news, so you got some news for us later,
I am.
Right?
There is always going to be some news, but yes, we will break it down and talk about it.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yes, and as you know, our moderator in the past, Keith, is not here today, but he will be with us next week, so we're looking forward to that. But like I said, there was so much to talk about in this episode. There's so much things going on inside and outside the jail cell with this episode for Aaron, really, because he's learning more about the family that's becoming bigger outside with his daughter being pregnant and meeting the boyfriend and having to deal with all those dramas, and then internally having to deal with all the political or the jail cell politics, as he calls it. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
first the black people don't like him, then the other crew doesn't like him, then the warden is like mad at him. There's so much drama, so much politics. What were you guys' overall thoughts on this episode?
You know, I had a little difficulty with the first episode because the pilots are so difficult because you're introducing so many people. But I felt like this being the second episode, the storyline was a little bit more solid. They could focus on one moment in time and have people slowly be introduced because we're kind of getting used to them being in Aaron's life. So I liked it a lot. I think it kind of added kind of more elements to the prison life that they're introducing more elements to the story, and I feel like it was really good. And I think it kind of ended on a note where there's a mystery to it, you know.
I agree with you, Emily. I think this episode is where we really started to sit in it. The first episode, we were just getting introduced to everything and we're like, what's happening? And this episode, I really felt like I was in it. I felt like I understood what was going on and I felt like we were really being taken on this journey. I'm really starting to become married to Aaron's character and I'm really starting to root for him on a personal level. And this episode did such a great job of showing us how he is battling between these two worlds.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point. Yeah.
You said it perfectly. He is battling between those two worlds. And one world is what we see all the time is what he sees in the jail cell, the people he has to interact with, the warden, the police officers, the cellmates, all those people. But he also has to worry about what's going on where he can't see at home.
Right. Exactly. And he also has internal battles of like feelings and emotion and trying to figure out what his next steps are. So there's so much going on.
And like that was like you were saying, you love how or like Dot was saying, she loves his character and starting to love the growth and everything. That was my highlight of this episode was his internal strength. Because there are so many times in this episode that we will talk about that I'm over here I'm just like smiling at the TV because like I know I would have did something stupid in this moment. He looked at me wrong way. I would have told him the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Like my daughter over there crying while you're looking at her. I'm gonna hurt you. Like the boyfriend calling me crazy. Look, dog, you got the wrong one. Like, there's a lot of things that he did that I have to commend him on because, like, there was a lot of temptation and he didn't fall for it. But let's get into that. We first see that Ronnie is making his way to the jail cell to talk to Aaron. How'd you guys feel about that he actually made the step to go out there and talk to him?
I was really excited to see Ronnie. I was really excited to see what the dynamic of their relationship would be. And I was so surprised when I saw Ronnie as this charming young man. I don't know why, but I just assumed that he was going to be this knucklehead little boy. And he kind of comes in with his head on straight. I love that he came to see Aaron. I thought it was out of control when he called him and kind of gave him his point of view, which was really hardcore, really like honest and transparent, but something I thought was extremely brave for such a young man to be talking to a father that way. Yeah. But I thought about how frustrated he must be in that moment to be the daughter's only support. And that's a lot of weight on him too. And I was like, I don't know if I would talk to the dad like that.
Yeah. So I mean, I was gonna say, let's, before we get to the second discuss, I kind of want to just get what your feelings were, just him making it to the jail cell.
Got it.
Because, like, there's so much to unpack in the first
there's
part.
There's so much.
And then the second part, we there's definitely much to unpack.
Yeah, there. I mean, I you know, from what we saw, I think it was really brave of him to go, and it's such a hard thing to have to confront someone like that, because it's like both of them are in a very vulnerable state. Mm-hmm. And so they're going there, you know, Ronnie's going there to say, hey, I'm there to like take care of your daughter. You know, I'm not the typical 17-year-old. And I liked how that it was a different twist on like maybe that like stereotypical narrative, you know? And I liked how he stood up and was like, we made all these plans. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to do all this. And I think it was brave, and I think it showed a different side and showed that there's some compassion and caring there from Ronnie's perspective.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I loved that scene. I loved how he was kind of hesitant at first, as anyone should be. But he went there. He went there to talk to a man to man, because I was expecting the mom to be there. I was expecting the girlfriend to be there. He was like, you know what? No, let me go talk to the father man to man. And that's what he did. And I love that scene. Mm-hmm. And just to go along with that, we see them kind of talking. And then Aaron gives him little like speech at the end, kind of like tough love, like, dog, I'm her daddy. You better. Right. And no matter where I'm at, you better make sure you're taking care of her. Like, how do you guys feel about that? And do you think that kind of sat well with, or sat with him? How do you think that sat with him?
I mean, I think with any dad, they're going to be protective no matter where they are and no matter what type of relationship they're trying to forge with their daughters or their children. So, like, I felt like it's a normal response. But Ronnie's reaction to it is what is indicative of how that relationship is going to either like make or break it, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely thought that it was a moment where Aaron's insecurities were kind of coming out, because as a father who wants to be the protector, but he's in a position where he can't be, and now he sees this young man as somebody who possibly may be taking his spot as the protector. And he was almost like still trying to claim it and still trying to own it, knowing that it's slipping away from him as life is continuing on without him.
Yeah. And I feel like any parent is going to feel like protective when they see their kids go and like move on with different chapters in their life. And especially with her being so young, I feel like it's even more, it's even harder for him to like let go. So I think for him for Aaron to say, hey, Ronnie, take care of her. That's also brave. And that's also like a big step in kind of leaning into his insecurities and just saying, all right, I can't do anything about it here. I'm going to have to rely on other people.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to admit.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's hard to swallow your pride as a grown man to say, no, I can't take care of my daughter.
Yeah.
I need you to. And needing someone to, when you're just meeting them, that takes not only your pride, but your trust. That puts everything on the line. So, yeah, that was a lot. And, Dot, I know you kind of mentioned it at the beginning. Now that we talked about the first interaction, we're going to kind of jump into the second interaction, because we kind of want to talk about the family first and then talk about everybody else. But the second interaction is towards the end of the episode. We see Ronnie call. Well, Ronnie is getting a call from Aaron, correct? So Aaron, how did he get the call?
Ronnie called.
Ronnie reached out.
Reached out. So
okay,
there was a text message that Aaron got saying, hey, call, this is Ronnie, I got your number, call me.
Yeah, because I was writing that down, and I was like, looked up, I was like, how in the world? Like, they're calling each other.
Yep.
But either way, they're on the phone, and then Ronnie kind of tells him what he thinks. I just want y'all's opinion. Dot, go first because
yeah, you said it.
I want y'all's opinion, and then I'm gonna just let you know where I'm at.
I think when he left that visitation and sat with all that responsibility and like all that hostility that he gave him, he had a moment to kind of be like, "Hold up, wait up. Like, do you even know what I've been dealing with? Do you even know what I've been putting up? This is not just on me. Like, you have no idea the contributions that you have put on her in terms of her stress." Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a moment of him being like, wait, hold up. Like, I need you to know also how strong I've already been, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, don't get it twisted. And as out of place as it was, as I'm saying that now, I kind of can respect that he did that.
Yeah. So I have mixed feelings. So we know from this episode that Ronnie's parents don't know where Aaron is. So there's that complicated issue.
Right.
We also learned that Aaron's daughter's Jasmine's very, you know, trying to put on a strong face, mm-hmm. right? So she shows up at one of the court
case, yeah.
one of the court cases. And, you know, we'll get to that. But there's some interaction mm-hmm. between her and Aaron. And it's emotional for her, which is totally understandable. So, again, she's going home to Ronnie. And Ronnie's taking this on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, hiding it from his parents and kind of making and taking care of her and then having the stress of having a new baby on the way. I think all of that's so complicated, and there's a lot of emotional stress there, and I think he's overwhelmed. So I think this moment when he calls Aaron, he's not only protecting Jasmine, but he's protecting himself and protecting his, like, future family.
Yeah. No, I see where you guys are coming from, because he's definitely saying, like, information that is true.
Right.
He's saying that, yeah, your daughter's also messed up because you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much other stuff that you don't know because you're not
so
here.
So much baggage.
And
yeah.
at the end of that, you see the mom, Mary, in the background. You see her in the background. And it's kind of like, yeah, he's speaking for the family. But with all that said, I'm letting you know right now, if I'm ever away and I hear my daughter's baby daddy
whatever he is,
talk to me like he crazy, it's just not gonna happen. First off, I'm getting out. Second off, we got problems. Third off, don't come at me with disrespect. I don't care who you are, what right. I'm doing, where
I
I'm
totally
at.
Totally get it.
You could tell me 1 + 1 = 2 in my eye, but if you tell me crazy, I'm beating you up.
Uh-uh.
It's just a respect thing. The approach was wrong.
Yeah.
That's what
totally,
I'm getting at.
I totally
the content,
agree.
The content can be yeah. right, but the approach, for you to be coming at a father like that, at another grown man, just come at an approach. He didn't gain that respect from him yet.
Yeah.
If you think about it, he went there one time. Don't come at me like that. You met me one time. You know my family.
Right.
I'm happy that you're being a good father, but learn some respect.
Yeah. I totally I agree what you're saying there, that the content and the objective was right. I think
mm-hmm.
the intention was right. But the way he executed it, it was like, I would be terrified if I talked to my father-in-law like
right.
that. I would be getting calls and texts, and I would get in trouble.
But also
so
seeing
there's a lot there.
There is so much there. And seeing Marie kind of in the corner and just listening
Letting
and not
it happen.
Stopping kind of lets you know that these are things that she wants to be said that she hasn't had the audacity to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in this moment, I feel like she's like, well, somebody got to
tell. You guys have both said it. The family wanted it to be said as well.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. I just didn't want it to be from that mm-hmm. that outlet. But we have to move forward because there was so much to talk about in this episode. We see that Aaron has another trial on his hands, and he's dealing with someone that's kind of controversial. He's part of the Nazi gang that's in the jail cell, but that is his defendant. He has to help him out. How'd you guys feel about that situation and him taking that role? Do you think he did the right thing? As in Aaron taking that case and doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron has, you know, he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He has to defend people that need help. So I feel like, you know, he felt something. I feel like he's been picking his cases wisely, and he had to do it. And I felt like it was – a controversial case and it caused some havoc and some problems internally for him. But I think it's important because it showed that he was willing to help even a side that was
against him. Yeah. And just to preface, like, he was not made to do it, but he was in debt to do
it.
That's why he was doing. But yeah, just.
I love seeing him in this case because it kind of is just starting to open up what this world is going to be like for him as he continues to take on all these new cases. I was just like startled at how much it riled up everybody in prison. And I'm just like afraid for Aaron at this point, because in terms of the cases that he's taken, it seems like he's being very strategic about who he's representing. But at the same time, it's just making his time in jail just way more dangerous.
And with that said, that's my next question. Who's the biggest threat? The police officers, the inmates, or the government, but I'm saying DA, all the people outside. Yeah. So who's the biggest threat for him?
I don't know. I mean, the correctional officers are kind of there the guards are kind of there all the time. They know who's the top person, you know, group there. They know the politics. They see it all happen. They can kind of let things slide if things happen. We kind of saw that in this episode where they kind of like ignore things or throw paperwork out. So I think I'm not sure if there's one right now that's worse than the other. I feel like it's a mixture of all of them working together in order to just like make the system really broken.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If I had to pick, I'd say the inmates for sure, because that's who he's with 24/7. When the lights go down, that's who you're in the cells with. And the inmates, they cover for each other and they are dangerous and they come for blood. I feel like the guards in there, you know, the cameras are kind of on them. So they would have to finesse some things, but the inmates are just ruthless. So.
Yeah, I feel that. I think he can maneuver his way inside the jail cell, so I got to go with the people outside.
The DA, the lawyers, all of them.
Because we kind of see it in the tease for the next episode. The DA, they're all outside. Right. He can't play the game outside. Mm-hmm. They can attack his family. They can attack the people that really mean the most to you. Because they can attack his daughter. They can attack his whole family. If you talk about me as a man and as a potential father, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about my family. So that's why I went with
that. Exactly. And the whole thing with the DA trying to hide records and not get access. So, like, rights are getting taken away because he's in prison. And so I see both kind of as being, you know,
yeah, and there's
being
so,
just as bad.
As I said, there's so much drama inside, but there's more drama outside that's not even with Aaron. Mm-hmm. We see the DA and Henry, who's representing Aaron.
Yeah.
They have history.
The public defender.
He's actually has history with the DA. What do you guys think about that when we found out that they have history, and how do you think that's going to affect the show down the line?
I love seeing when Henry was saying, like, hey, we ruined lives when we were working together. Because I always wondered, like, what made him want to, you know, kind of represent Aaron? What person would take on that responsibility and what kind of backlash they would get? But when you've been doing dirty for so long and living with that guilt, you're going to want to, like, make yourself feel better or redeem yourself in some sort of way. So I love that he's standing up and doing something that's right.
Yeah, and we see, you know, later, near the end of the episode, there's, like, a news clip of why he wanted to defend Aaron and that he's smart and that he, you know, is so, like, capable and, like, an amazing person. And so I feel like that conversation, I think, is of him doing, like, dirty work, you know, before. I feel like we're going to learn more about it in the next few episodes because there has to be something revealed there.
Yeah.
There's going to be more coming out, you know. There's going to be some backlash. I'm worried that Aaron's going to have a different public defender because something like that happened. Maybe something happens to Henry.
Hey, we got predictions later.
I know,
so.
Sorry.
No, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, so save that one. Yeah, it makes me feel like icky. Like they put like a little tease in there of like, oh yeah, I was a bad guy. But like, do you really turn good that quickly? Like, do you really just, I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to throw it out there.
No, I agree with you. And you know who's also happy and that knows there are, like, dirt on the DA is a person that's going against it. And we know that is the warden's wife. So we see that kind of interaction with the warden and her wife talking about, you know, it might not be bad if Aaron goes after him. There might be stuff there.
There's
First off, what do you think about the switch of reaction for the warden and her parent or her wife? And then the side question to that is, do you actually think that she will pay back her debt? And when I say that, Aaron and the warden, they kind of have a debt for each other. Do you think she's going to pay back that debt? And do you think the wife kind of helped turn the switch?
You know, I think the warden is in a tough spot because mm-hmm. In the first episode, we see her as really tough and like wanting to stick with the rules. But I feel like as she sees Aaron fighting for justice and fighting for the rights of these inmates, that she realizes that maybe she's not on the right side of justice mm-hmm. and that she can help these people. And so I think there's going to be she's softening a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that like they can create a partnership that will help people instead of take people down.
I want to believe that. Like when I saw the warden, when she saw Aaron at the visitation with the daughter yeah. and she saw the belly, it seemed yeah. like, "Oh, like I want to fight for him. I want to believe in him." But the warden's wife, I don't believe her switch. I think that there
the warden's wife or the warden, the
yeah, the yeah. warden's what like
they'll bump their switch.
Little yeah. switches, yeah.
There's a motive there that I'm mm-hmm. that I'm just not sure about. So I don't believe and trust her just yet. I okay. do like this switch, but I think something's up with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the switch is for the family members. Yeah. Even though they intentionally had us see her look at the footage, I think for the warden, I think it's all about her family. Her mm-hmm. wife said that she should let Aaron loose a little bit. This just gives her more motivation.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, she's worried about her family just like Aaron's worried about his family.
Yeah.
So that's where I think the warden is with that situation. But there's still so much like other stuff going on. And Aaron might have more trouble because if you look at it, each episode, he's done something that's kind of bent the rules.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, you kind of see him not forging a signature, but getting a signature without telling the client. So how do you think about Aaron's approach to winning these cases or fighting these cases? Because he lost his own, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. So fighting these cases.
I think he's doing anything he has to do by any means necessary. Yeah. I think that we've literally only seen the brink of what mm-hmm. he's going to do. I think it's only going to get more and more illegal, more and more testing the waters. Yeah. And unfortunately, especially with this second episode and seeing how against him they mm-hmm. are, I feel like he's going to continue to have to press the envelope as we move forward even more because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, I mean, like in the first episode, he forged wrote the letter. Like forged it or had someone do it, but I'm so torn because it's like how far do you go in order to like make things right but without hurting anyone and right. without like breaking the law? Like he hasn't really broken he's kind of like bent the rules a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna go with bent.
We're gonna bent. So it's like
this boy was definitely like this will break, but yeah. you know what I mean.
So like I want him to win his cases. I want him to do right. But it's like, but also
at
he's,
what cost?
But at what cost? And like, he's within this prison system, and like, you kind of figure out like smart ways of like getting what you need. So is that what he's doing, or you know, and like, how far will he go? Like, that's my big concern.
And yeah, I mean, I think he's gonna go far, but I said it last episode. He's playing the wrong game, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he's learning the game. But like he needs to make sure he knows what right game he's
yeah.
playing. So
I
used a reference last time. He's playing chess because he's playing checkers because he's making big moves instead of just the smart mm-hmm. tactical moves that would yeah. be that would be chess.
He has to do like the long game of yes. playing chess.
And that's what the warden keeps saying. Mm-hmm. And like we see moments of it.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm hesitant because in yeah. the first episode he brought his wife into it. So that means mm-hmm. his wife can get in trouble later down the line. And if the DA wants to find his wife, there's more issues. So the dangerous part of playing this game, you got to know all the variables, all the players,
exactly.
how they can get hurt too, especially if they're in your family.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very hesitant on that.
Yeah, well, if you play the game and like people will get burned and yeah. like if you're going to investigate the DA and look into things, they can look into you. So you just kind of have to like cover all your bases and
yeah.
be careful. and make smart decisions.
Very true. Very true. And speaking of covering all your bases, when it comes to covering all my bases, I hit you up for news.
Yes.
So
thank you. All the news.
Speaking of that, this is our news segment. Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah. So today, 50 Cent and Isaac Wright Jr., who is the gentleman that For Life, the show is based on, was featured on The View. Mm. And they had a really great interview. You can catch it online. And they talk about how they want For Life, the show, to encourage a bigger discussion on criminal justice. And 50 Cent says, I think it will start a conversation that's bigger, not just to people that are socially conscious, but people that are just entertained by it. They'll be able to feel the emotional journey of the character and be a little more invested in it because of that. Wright also spoke on his feelings about the public getting a glimpse into the inequities he and others endured in the justice system. It's an incredible feeling. You know, one of the disappointments about, for me personally, about being released is that I left thousands of people behind.
Mm.
So you can catch the full interview on The View. They have a podcast as well.
Yeah.
So I really love that they're really speaking out about the criminal justice, just the huge issue plaguing our country. And we have, the United States has like the worst rates of incarceration, and we need to do something about it. So I feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I know there's tons of celebrities that speak out against it. And so this is just another way that we can continue the conversation.
That's really cool, because this discussion can't be talked about enough. Like criminal justice, especially exonerating all the people that need to be exonerated. Mm-hmm. Like there are so many problems with this justice system, like you guys have said. It just needs to be discussed. And I love that 50 and everybody else that's doing that is continuing that conversation. So, yeah, that was our news, and I appreciate you giving it to us.
Yeah, of course.
So, next, we got our special segment. We talked about it last week. We are doing it for the first time this week. It is called For Life and Back. And if you guys don't know what that special segment is, it's because it's our first time doing it, obviously. Well, the special segment is where we highlight people that have either been incarcerated, that have been exonerated or stories about that. So, for an example, for this week, we wanted to highlight Ricky Jackson, Ronnie Brigman, and Willie Brigman. Now, these are three guys that were sentenced to life. They were sentenced to death at first back in 75, and then changed to life in prison back in 77. They were wrongfully accused of murder, and then in 2014, they were exonerated. So that was 39 years the original charge that they were exonerated. The last person spent almost, like I said, 39 years, so almost four generations in there. And after the star witness, so the star eyewitness came back and recanted his statement. So almost exactly what we saw in the show last week. So yeah, after he recanted his statement in 2014, they were all released. They were released, if you look into the story, they were released at different times for different reasons, but the last one was in 2014, and it was just a crazy story. So we wanted to just highlight them, as we do for this, For Life and Back, because they got they finally got exonerated for being wrongfully accused. So it's sad, and it's crazy, because we were looking that up, and it happens so often. This case was literally just the one I chose. So for you guys and fans, continue to look out for these things. Continue to spread the conversation, because at the end of the day, that's only going to bring us all together and like enlighten us more, so we can all learn and everything, and hopefully bring back people to their families if they deserve to be back. Yes. That, just leave it at that. But yeah, so that was For Life and Back. So before we leave, we got one more thing. We got to do our predictions. What do you guys think is going to happen next week?
I think
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I think that the family is going to Aaron's family is going to get a little bit more involved in some of his cases, or something's going to happen related to that. And I think Aaron's going to get an even juicier case that's going to cause more trouble for his life in prison.
I'm going to say the opposite. I think that there's going to be a little bit of distance starting to happen from the family and Aaron, just because it seems right now that he's not winning. The daughter's pregnant. They don't want that extra stress. Mm. And I for sure think that there is going to be like a fight between Aaron and some of the inmates, like hardcore body. He's going to have to scrap.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we kind of saw it in the trailer. I think that the warden or the AD is going to talk to Aaron's wife. I think that's going to be the determining factor or pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back in saying that they're not going to come back and talk to Aaron anymore. They're either going to be afraid or blame him. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to cause Aaron to do something reckless. I think this is the next episode where he starts doing something reckless. So the warden's going to be against him. Everybody's going to be against him because he's just going all loose. So that's what I'm expecting. One thing that's kind of far that I kind of noticed, and this might be a stretch, the prosecutor that's always been there, that he always looks at, the one that was in both yes. cases, that is actually for him, that was in the case that mm-hmm. that he doesn't like, mm-hmm. I think that he's going to have a change of heart towards the end of the season. And mm-hmm. I say that because of one quick scene when they were leaving. Aaron walks out. He looks at his daughter, right? They cut to the prosecutor. He looks back. And then looks at his daughter, looks at Aaron's daughter crying.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, yes. I'm thinking there. He might just feel bad, and it might be a slow burn, but that's my reach, and I'm okay. hoping because right now I don't care for that prosecutor, but if he does something good, we'll see. Right. But yeah, so that's my far-fetched goals, but we'll see. Let us know in the comments what you guys think. But yeah, thank you guys again for coming in. Before we leave, where can they find you guys?
So you can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller.
You can find me on all social media platforms at Dot McDonald.
And you guys can follow me at Jeff Wills Jr. on all your social media platforms. And that does it for us today. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.